October. Thank you to everyone for your patience as we have worked to complete this project. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. One of the realities, I assume, that comes when one gets older is that he spends a great deal of time looking back upon his life and the things that have been. While I am not as old as some, I'm nor as young as others, and as I have now found myself squarely in my 50s, oftentimes I reflect upon my life in the last decade or two or three or maybe even four. But certainly since my time after I was graduated from high school, and I look at the trajectory of my life and where it is that God has brought me, and more often than not, what always comes to mind, not just the beauty of the experiences that I've been privileged to have, but all of the energy I wasted trying to control the trajectory of my life, all the worry and the care and concern I had about the smallest things, so many of the things that I have forgotten, all of the energy over relationships, some of which have come and gone, the times when I have felt the most peace, where there has been the most success, have been those times when I have placed myself squarely in the hands of God and trusted Him completely, regardless of those things that were swirling around me, regardless of whether or not I knew I had a handle on what was happening or I had control over the things in my life. If I gave myself over into the hands of God, only good happened to me. There was peace and joy, even in the midst of those times where there has been difficulty and struggle, especially in my priestly life. Whenever I have embarked down my own path or sought my own will or been self-directed, more often than not, I have failed. But each and every single time I have trusted in God, there has only been success and peace. This is not accidental. It is not coincidence. It is not haphazard. Nor is it somehow God favoring me more than He is favoring others. It is, however, a testament to what the Lord Himself consistently asks of us, and that is that we put our faith and our confidence in Him and in Him alone. There is nothing or no one in this world that can provide for us the measure of peace and tranquility that comes from relationship with Christ and Holy Mother Church. And while we might repeatedly go after the things of men to answer the things of God, hopefully as we do grow older, we also do become a little wiser and therefore less frequently turn to earthly things to deal with spiritual matters. Even now, after all of these years of ongoing reflections, there are times when I will, in a sense, move towards something of my own making, my own doing, my own direction. And I have to pull myself back and remind myself if there's going to be success, it'll come because God has willed it so. My task is to trust in His divine providence. This is not an easy thing, but I think the greatest thing that has come from reflection is that I am at peace. I am more at peace when I am with God than any other time in any other reality in any other way. And even if things around us seemingly are falling apart, both outside and inside of Holy Mother Church, as long as we remain steadfast and faith-filled, we will be able to share in the victory that Christ has already won. This is the precise reason why God calls us to that greater degree of trust and confidence, to, as He enjoins Peter, so He enjoins each of us. Duke in altum, put out into the deep. Go to those places, whether you have been there before or the places in which you might be afraid, go there nonetheless, because I am commanding you to do so. And what happens? As it was for Peter, so it will be for each of us. God's response to us is an abundance that we ourselves cannot handle or control. We must call others in to share in the manifold blessings that God has bestowed upon us. Peter's response upon realizing what it is that has transpired in front of him is to recognize that he is unworthy of the gift. And that may be true for each of us as well. Feeling unworthy of the blessings that God bestows upon us. But don't allow hubris or arrogance to stand in the way of God's blessings. Because sometimes the blessings that God bestows upon us just aren't for us, are meant also that we might be instruments of grace for others as well. And so in humility, we accept the blessings that God gives to us in order to share them with others. And all this begins, originates from a confidence in God, putting out into the deep, regardless of the things that are swirling around us. This was never an easy task. God didn't intend it to be an easy task, which is precisely why he gives us the gift of himself and the manifold graces that come through Christ and Holy Mother Church as the means by which we can best and most completely cooperate with the very graces that he himself bestows upon us. And so Paul, at the very beginning of our exhortation to the Romans, "I reckon," he says, "that the sufferings of the present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory to come that will be revealed in us." Whatever it is we are enduring, in body or in spirit, whatever struggles that we are asked to confront on a macro or a micro level, whatever things might at times lead us to anxiety or to despair or to doubt or to worry, that is not to minimize any of those things. They are real and true, and they require a response from us. But the constant response in all of those situations is always to return to the Lord and to remember whatever sufferings I endure, they will always give way to the greatest glory, and that is Christ, who is indeed in his heavens and wants us to join him there in the fullness of time. Trust in the Lord. Put out into the deep, however that might manifest itself for you, whatever it is that God might be calling you to do. It might engender in you a certain degree of fear or trepidation, but never doubt God. Yes, we might doubt ourselves, and we might doubt men, but there has never been, nor will there ever be, a reason not to place our full confidence in the Lord. Brothers and sisters, we have been together long enough that you know that one of my constant themes of preaching to you is to remind us of the difficulties that confront us outside of these walls, sometimes even creeping in to this beautiful place of prayer. Those things Holy Mother Church must indeed suffer. And I sometimes wonder if I'm creating more anxiety than I am quelling the anxiety. So let me be clear. There are difficulties, and there are things that require serious responses from Holy Mother Church. But even as we wait for our Holy Father and the bishops and the cardinals to direct us and to lead us as God has ordained, we know what it is that we ought to do, and we know how we ought to do it. The task before us is to simply go and be about the business of being God's children. Is it easier if we are all rowing in the same direction? And the answer is yes. Is it more, or we will be more successful with one another if we are surrounded by those who are journeying with us? And the answer there is also yes. But even if we must go alone, and at times I feel that I'm walking on the road by myself, we are always with God, who is the best and our constant companion in all the things that we must confront and endure. So we must be men and women of a fervent and constant hope, and we must strengthen that hope by the manner in which we live our daily lives, returning here to the altar of sacrifice again and again, taking advantage of the manifold blessings that God does indeed bestow upon us. And when the Lord does indeed call, and he will, we with joy and peace are able to abandon everything as Peter, James, and John did. Leave all things behind, family, friends, wealth, and fame, and follow after the Lord completely and totally. To be with Christ is to lose nothing and to gain everything. The Lord has called you, brothers and sisters, by an outpouring of the Holy Spirit and the graces attending to him. Respond generously to his voice in your daily lives. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.